Let's say our opening prayer. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Dearest Mother,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peace.
Peace.
Bliss.
Bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
Nice to see everybody. Let's do a short meditation. Bible reading tonight is from Psalms 34, beginning at verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. from Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And a short from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When the Guru comes into your life, all fears are banished. It's when you take note of the fact that you have a guru that you stand before all people with no fear and no self-consciousness. No embarrassment for the teachings that are given. They are given for you, and some and many others will not understand that which you were taught. God is with you. God is with you. He has come down in the form of the Guru. And God can raise up gurus, can raise up teachers that are necessary for the day. There will be all types, every kind of teacher. So oftentimes, easier to take on a teacher who's already passed because you have control of a lot of the lessons that you have to learn and practice. But it's true surrender when you live with the Guru, when you actually work with and interact with the Guru. That's true surrender. But also you feel gratitude and you esteem the Guru above all else, above all other people. If the Guru says the sun has set, and it's actually noon, one should act in accordance with the Guru. Now, they don't test you necessarily. Some people are tested more severely than others. Try not to let the Guru's words be filtered through the critical mind. Let everything come through the softened heart. Recognizing that connection to the Guru. The Indians, the Hindus, have a teaching that God is always eternally returning, always coming. Krishna promised he would come whenever needed. The avatar comes and slays demons as a way of thinking. Demons exist in our mind. You can anthropomorphize them, you can personify them if you like. You can be made afraid by doing so. But you know, because the Guru is in your life, that anything that occurs of that nature is set there before you as something to work through with the Guru, with the teacher. That's the first place you turn. With any question, with any fear, with any difficulty, first place you turn is the Guru. Always uppermost on your mind, in your mind, on your tongue. When I was in India, I've told the story before, but it's an important thing to try to understand the great teachings of India. And one is of Mother Kali. Now in Bengal, where Master was from, Kali was a great, great goddess. But there was some fear and trepidation around Kali, because she was a fierce warrior. And she was a manifestation, I was told by a Bengali young man who took me around to some of the temples in, at that time I was in Nagpur. And he said that Durga is the divine mother and seen as this beautiful Kuan Yin, or the Mother Mary aspect of God. And that she was a demon slayer also. She set things right. She worried about her children. But that one particular problem, demon or set of demons, was that whenever she cut her the heads off of the demon to slay them, that each drop of blood that fell on the ground from that formed another demon. And so Mother Kali was derived from Mother Durga through her great, great compassion. A fierce warrior came out of her rage at what was going on to her children. And she was a fighting goddess, Kali. And Kali never let a drop of blood touch the ground, but drank it and absorbed it and killed the demon permanently. Now these are difficult things to understand symbolically and metaphorically. But we have to remember how they see Jesus bleeding from the crown of thorns and nailed to a cross. How strange that seems. These really deep and great teachings are difficult to understand. Telling his disciples to drink my blood, eat my flesh, otherwise you can't make it into the kingdom of heaven. You will not be with me. You cannot do this. Now, these are meant to be difficult. And some of the disciples of the disciples of Jesus were troubled by that statement. And many others, if they heard it, we can imagine. We get used to these things, just like the Bengalis and the Hindus get used to Mother, stories of Mother Kali. They see her as this great warrior who's come to protect us. What she actually has to do on the battlefield doesn't matter if it is to save the children of God, the innocent and naive who complain maybe as they get older, not knowing what was done to save them. But the mother doesn't care about any criticism. She knows what she's doing, and she knows she's suited for the job. It's not intended to know what God is doing through the guru, the avatar, the saint. It's nice to know. We all talk about it and we all want to know. But the first rule, the first commandment is to love God and to recognize God in the guru and the teacher. This is the hidden meaning, of course, that the Christians were right about Jesus being divine. But because of the limitations of their language and the way they thought of things, they had to say things about him that weren't true necessarily. But that the guru, the avatar, the descent into flesh. Now, Jesus is called the incarnation too for very similar reasons. And we're not expected to understand. We're expected to take note of the teachings of that one and all the other things. All the defensive things done by the guru defending you are clothed in mysterious actions. But the guru knows exactly what they're doing, and they take on the burden into their own body, into their own consciousness, into their own mind, and flood their emotions sometimes. And the mother is glad to do that for the child. Very glad. Anxious to do it. Worries about us. So that we don't have to worry. If she lifts us up to where she is, and we gain the view of what she's doing, that's wonderful, but not necessary. And the higher experiences are given to people for practical reasons, for things that they have been charged to do. They're not better people than any others. They just have a different job. They have a job to do that the teacher brought them down for. We all have different jobs, and we need to always respect what the guru is doing and never question the guru, and certainly not to other devotees. We never want to be responsible for someone leaving the path who should be there. By actions or statements of our own, we pay a double price for leaving the teacher. When we criticize the guru, it's a leaving of the teacher. When we criticize, let's say it this way. We were talking to a person, a young man, not too young, at the farm the other day, Kate and I, and talking about how, and talking about all of this. Well, it'll come back to me. Frustrating when that happens. It was a tremendous discussion we had with him. We both felt as though Mother was talking through us. Not that we reached him and didn't have any effect in this lifetime. That's not for us to say or to guess at, but that Mother was talking through us, imperfect though we may be. That was not in question. God is putting each person through what we ask for. When we ask for something from God, do we really mean it? Now, there may be a price that has to be paid, and so we back off a little in our request and in our insistence on a solution. We back off. It's like giving birth. Not that I know anything about that, but it is something that's going to take place. There's nothing to stop it. The child is ripening, bursting out into the world. So she's putting us to work to do different things for each person. And she tests us. And she gets us ready for maybe the next lifetime. I don't mean to say that, you know, I recognize that David always insisted on this being constantly within our minds, goal set before us. But I see things in just a, you see things differently. They don't have the same responsibilities and nor method of teaching. I see lifetime upon lifetime struggling. There's a part of us that wants to be here, that put us here. But what the Guru is putting us through is something that will have to be done this lifetime or the next. And they're only trying to say, if you do it now, it'll actually be easier. Or do it to the extent that you can bear it and beyond what you can bear. Will happen. It's like a birth. You've come for a with a destiny given to you, given to all, each one of us, a destiny to fulfill. We're given the tools, opportunity, and the circumstances in life to make it undeniable what's set before us. But have no fear, it is accomplished already. Time is one of the beasts before the throne, as Sri Yukteswar tells us. Time doesn't exist in God. It's a creation of God, by God. He's not constrained by that. He's not constrained by space, matter. He's the architect of that. Everything proceeds out of the mouth of God, and that is the Om, which creates the great etheric fluid that we live in, that we reside in, like a nest floating on the ocean of Ananda, of space and time. And there we are, each one of us, with a whole universe within the one person that we are. We are but one particle. And that particle is what we have to go back to. Single-minded, focused on that single expression from God that He planted into that nest. And from that, we get time and space. And we live in time and space. And then we think that things happen in sequence. Our divine state is already achieved. It always has been. We choose to put on a mask and look in the mirror and see ourselves limited in some fashion. And from that comes great bliss, playing the role that God has given us. Only there are we satisfied. The soul sits within the throne in our heart and knows all of these things and lets us go through the torment sometimes, the joys, all of the aspects of being human and being on the physical plane. Unperturbed, the throne of God is a place of quiet. Of steady certainty. Mother talked a lot about the throne of God. Something that she must have perceived in her visions of some sort, because that's where she lived. She operated out of that with no restrictions. This is the state of Sahaja Samadhi. Complete familiarity with the throne of God. Complete knowledge of the oneness of your very self, with God. And not with God, as God. We can sometimes feel that the primordial certainty, that thread that connects the heart and the throne of God within ourselves, and realize that there's only one throne. There's only one God, only one life. Either there's three persons in God, as the Christians have it, or there is no end to the number of gods, of divine beings. There's a great splurge of individual cells, Atman, Anu, particle, huge, cascading number of these, from which all the physical world and all the world is created, all the worlds are created. It's all just a house of mirrors. As the mind imagines that splurging and that expansion, the manifold, the multitude of souls and particles and created and spewed all over the world and all over the universe, like a fountain. These are all just imaginings of God. We get to see the end result. This is the manifest world of constraints brought to a peak of perfection. Meher Baba assures us that the intended result of all of this is man. This vehicle that we live in and operate from, this is the great attainment, the great vision of God. That we can see the micro and the macro at the same time. And to revel in that knowledge, in that certainty, in that wonder of what it is to be. Not to be in God. That's again putting God as one of his creatures. He's not a creature that is constrained. He's that which makes creatures. And this is what he wanted. What we have right now. He's at the peak point in the intended result from the very beginning. But in truth, there is no beginning. There is no end. And so in reality, this vision of ourselves standing on top of a mountain, viewing the whole world, viewing the space and the island universes, this is the state of wonder and living that existing. Existence itself. Can we be happy with that? There's no end, there's no limit to it. There is just living and sitting at the throne of God. So I started from fear. This is the great enemy of our inability to act. So it's an important thing to know about. We are given things that make us fear and fearful circumstances. But that only happens in the great artistic expression, looking outward. When we sit at the throne of God looking outward, then there's no fear. Fear comes from not knowing who we are. Not knowing where we sit. The I am that is the real I am of our identity. My identity, your identity. These words mean nothing. The I, the my, the your. So we don't have to look out on the world any differently. We have to just rest in God, to nestle back further into God, to know from which we come, from where we come from, what source, what purpose, what actions God has taken to get us here. You can see that I've been thinking a lot about Sri Yukteswar's teachings in his book, The Holy Science. It's such a rich source of material to work with. It gives you a perspective. In that sense, it dispels fear. It dispels darkness. Each one of us sees the world as described by him when we read what he wrote slightly differently, and each one of us is correct. Because the ultimate thing that is evoked from reading such teachings is some context and some way of knowing what's going on here. Feeling it. And operating in it, navigating our way. Any thoughts from anyone?
I think what affects me a lot is just thinking about resting in God.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it tends to calm us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. The other day we listened to something, I don't remember now, it could have been something you sent, one of David's or mother's talks, but sometimes we hear metaphors or whatever, but this, the little story that David or mother told about the man who was so enamored of this bush that he smelled.
Yeah, that was David. Yeah.
Oh, it was David.
It was a cactus, wasn't it?
Yeah, and holding on, and the saint comes along and says, "Let go." And he couldn't let go. And I've been thinking a lot about that. It really applies to our lives because we can let go of everything. Anything that disturbs us even a little bit, we can let it go. It's just the most wonderful thing, and we can rest in God.
But the mind conjures up, well, the circumstances that got me to walk by that cactus and smell it. The expectations of what I was expecting when I did so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. I think it's a story that Papa told. It seems like it might be his, but it's really told from the state of having achieved that and that. For us, when we attain that state ourselves, as the populace, and we'll then see more clearly how we were ensnared by the cactus.
And ensnared by our expectations.
Mm. Yes, well, there's a whole body of things that gets to that point, isn't it? I've always thought that the Uncle Remus stories of the tar baby are also kind of interesting, higher level teachings probably. I never have spent time looking into the metaphors or what's the word I'm looking for?
Uncle Tom's Cabin.
No, Uncle Remus was the tar baby. That they couldn't get the tar off them. Oh, I should read about it. But it's just a childhood memory. And how you can get kind of wrapped up with the... You can't get the tar off you. So there's that aspect. And, you know, oftentimes saints are shown as being mirrors and reflections, but also going through... Here's an interesting thing. And you know, Master tells us about Sava Kalpa Samadhi. Sava means with seeds or with karmic effect. Sava Kalpa Samadhi is a state that is still not perfected. And Nirvikalpa means without seeds, without fault. It's even like Maya Kalpa, similar to that. The Kalpa is Sava Kalpa, Nirvikalpa. And that that there's a state called in Nirvikalpa that is described by Master called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, is that your actions taken from that state bear no seeds, bear no fruit of karmic kind. You know that we have to come here to even experience good karma. So this is a really complicated story that is only not explainable, but it is known once it's achieved. And that is that you can see that you can go through life as a teacher, a guru, and give advice to people, involve yourself in their lives and appear to do things wrong, even. And the appearance is only that which we perceive that person doing from the outside. The actions taken by somebody in those higher states, these are people beyond the law. It's dangerous teaching in the sense that people can be thinking they're speaking from that state and do terrible things. But that if we can't take any other explanation in the Western world than saying maybe Jesus could come into the world and bring about no karmic events due to himself. Well, then if that's the only way we can see it, then at least we can acknowledge that that state is a real state. Christians want to say it's only that one man, that one person. So be it. We're taught otherwise, and that we should attain it. But that's why this is, you know, these are difficult paths to get to the state where we don't have any ego. We can beat our ego up all we want, doesn't mean it's going to go away. But it's a state they promise us where we won't have to worry about anything of that type. Yeah, I think nestling into the throne of God is really... See, when you really are in the higher chakras, they all blend into one. And you can find yourself focused on the third eye point and then see yourself as being centered at the heart center. And it's hard to distinguish. So it's all the throne of God. Anybody else? That's enough for me tonight, so we'll say our closing prayer, if that's all right. Please be with me, O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Divine Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
Every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
Surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My communion with thee.
My communion with thee.
I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. peaceless life.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you for being here. While we meditate here, if people can leave and they want, of course, and they'll just play one. There's another thing to take us out.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hari Om, everyone.
Hari Om, Larry.